Sun, welcome to this crisp air outside. You know, this is our Sunday for joy. It's our third Sunday. And Becky has chosen songs and for joy, and we are going to open with Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And then we'll go right into A Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I am honored to be here worshiping with all of you as we prepare for this Advent coming time. God honors us and we honor him as we come together to worship him. So, welcome. Good morning. Again, we welcome Pastor Dan Winkiewicz. We are so glad to have him here again to teach us and also to worship with this congregation. A note about future services, a reminder, Lynn Ann Burns and Christy Peck have volunteered to plan the Christmas Eve service, so we are looking forward to that. And although we now have pulpit supply secured through February for all the other Sundays, we will ourselves be filling the worship service on Sunday, December 28th, with an interactive service. So please be thinking of a personally meaningful scripture or Bible moment that you would be willing to share from your pew that day. Knowing the exact place in scripture is not needed. Remember that there were no chapters and verses in the original Dead Sea Scrolls. So if we can't remember exactly where it came from, that's okay. As well, we'll sing Christmas songs together by request that Sunday morning. We will have as many songs as possible on PowerPoint, and we will put Karen Dawkin, the praise band, and Lynn Ann to the test that day. So I'm looking forward to sharing that time with all of you, and I hope you enjoy it as well. Kathy Anderson has asked to make a little announcement.
I'm Kathy, and I'm one of a team of faith-filled and God-driven people that get to work with the youth that choose to come here to Harbor of Joy. You've heard the sayings, you know, strike while the iron's hot and make hay while the sun shines. Well, the iron is hot and the sun is shining because we have children who come here to learn about Jesus, and they want God in their hearts. We are looking for people to help us on Sunday mornings. Just prior to the sermon, and that's not against you or anybody else, but you get to go down to the fireside room and work with the kids. There will be a Bible verse to read, a story perhaps to go with it, a craft or a word search. There will be all the supplies you need. You just need to bring the energy to come down and work with the kids. Then on Wednesday nights, after school, anytime between 3:30 and a little after 5, we surely could use your help. We need to have two adults with the children at all times. So therefore, we are looking for backup for our wonderfully talented and very helpful kitchen ladies. We are looking for teachers. We are looking for assistants. If we don't have enough people, we don't get to break up into a small group. So please consider joining us on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday afternoons to work with the kids who choose to come here to Harbor of Joy. And also, anyone who came or helped with the Christmas program, thank you, thank you. The Christmas program was here last Wednesday, so whether you attended, or you prayed, or you made the food, served the food, prepared the food, were a teacher, an assistant, thank you. Today we sing the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, and you will be hard-pressed to sing it with the same joy and unbridled enthusiasm that those kids did on Wednesday. So we are asking your help. Your cup will be filled by getting to work with these children. Thanks.
And we will proceed with singing Light One Candle as we light our Advent candles this morning.
And I'm going to have the vocals sing the first verse in case you don't really know the song that well. Then we'll repeat and we'll all do verse 1, 2, and 3. And you have the music, I think, in front of you in the pew. I hope you do.
Light one candle to watch for Messiah.
Join on verse 1.
Light one candle to watch for Messiah. Let the light nation to Israel. God fulfills the promise. Light two candles to watch for.
Prayers and come to us, bringing your light into the darkness of our hearts. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations.
Our call to worship this morning is from Philippians 4 and the footnotes from that Life Application Bible. Although it seems strange that a man in prison would be willing to tell a church to rejoice, Paul was full of joy because he knew that no matter what happened to him, Jesus Christ was with him. Jesus, who lives within us, will fulfill his final purpose for us. So we repeat the words Paul wrote from prison in his letter to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Come to worship him.
Now I ask you to stand and we can sing our joy to the world.
And our responsive reading this morning is from 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. Life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us all from all sin. If we claim we have not sinned, please join me in prayer. Father God, although there are events in our lives that we may not be happy about, we can choose to be joyful. The Apostle John tells us that Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am." So we can choose to be joyful now, because we can choose you, Jesus, as Savior. And because of that choice, our joy will be even more complete when we find ourselves bowing before you. Thank you, Holy Trinity. Amen.
Well, you almost got lucky. I almost didn't find the button for the mic. That would have taken care of all of your problems. So, or created more, one of the two. Well, thank you. It's nice to see you all again coming out on this nice frosty morning. Wasn't that nice to get outside and take a deep breath of that nice, crisp, cool, pure air that made your nose hurt? Wasn't that nice? Yes. It's funny, I you know, in my years in Ecuador, I was out of the snow and the cold for so long. That was one of the things I missed. And I thought, oh, for those nice cold mornings where you'd breathe in and your nose would just hurt. And it only took me two times being back, and that was enough. Yeah, it's a cold morning. But it's nice that you are all here, that we can gather together to worship together and, you know, and see one another. Yesterday I called Lynn Ann and I said, "Now, I don't know what you're thinking about canceling or not for tomorrow, but," I said, "if you can make it there, I'll make it there and we'll record something anyway." And she said, "Oh no, we're going to have it." And the main thing is I really enjoy seeing all of you. So I have a lot of fun preaching. You know, you can either, I guess now you're in for it, so you either like it or lump it, but I have a good time doing it in it. But really, it's just a joy to see all of you in the Christmas season. So as we start out today, I'm going to be preaching from Genesis chapter 16. And so I think we're going to put that up on the screen, and I'll read it off the screen so that we're looking at the same words. And we continue with our saga of Abraham, but let's read together. "Now Sarai, Abram's wife had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So later, Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years. Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do what you with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael. For the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." So she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son. And Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Let's pray. Lord God, this morning as we look at this story that you put here for us to hear, help us to learn from it. Help us to be encouraged by it. Help us to be warned by it. And Lord, we thank you that you loved Abraham, that you love us, that you looked for Hagar, that you look for us. So Lord, help me today to speak plainly. Well, may it be something that is remembered and lift up our hearts in this season when we once again remember your coming to this earth as a babe. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. "Do you hear what I hear?" said the little lamb to the shepherd boy. "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the skies, shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? A song high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea." I wonder if that hymn has been sung in this church. Oh, that's not a hymn, is it? Who sang that song? Who made it famous? Bing Crosby. And we're going back a long, long ways, of course, with a voice as big as the sea. Do you hear what I hear? And so I ask you, I say, to hear, we must listen. Are you listening? Do you see? Do you see? Another song, this one a little bit more known in the church. "We three kings of Orient are," and we start to sing that and we just sing it, we don't think. But listen to the words, "bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. To see, you must look. Are you looking?" It's the Christmas season, and often if you're not careful, it'll run you over like a steamroller. I remember when we were kids in grade school, we tried to think of ways that would be terrible to die, and getting run over by a packer on the road, a steamroller as we call it, seemed to be the worst. And sometimes Christmas is like that. Here it's coming. And you're so busy doing everything to stay up with it and get the foods ready and get everything done and get those packages bought, and all of a sudden it's here and it's gone. And you didn't hear it and you didn't see it because you were too busy. And by the way, I always preach to myself. Today in this story, we learn about one decision that has big, big consequences. Many of us know about consequences in our own life, but today we're going to learn about it from five individuals: Abram, Sarai, Hagar, the angel of the Lord, and Ishmael. Now let's see what we can see and hear today. Now the last time I was here, I also spoke about Abraham. And we saw that Abraham leaves the Ur of the Chaldees, the place where he was used to living, and he left in faith. God told him to go, he went. He arrives many years later in Canaan, doesn't have a land there, doesn't know anybody, but he shows up and he lives in faith. Now, then he suddenly decides when he's lacking food that he'll take a little side trip down to Egypt. Now, there he did it in doubt. You remember, he forgot to ask God if he should go, and that's always a bad plan. Later on, you would learn as he comes back, he divides the land with his nephew Lot in faith. He saves Lot from five kings in faith. He receives a nice covenant with God in faith. And then Abraham fumbles the ball. That's what he did. I was watching a little bit of college football yesterday, and I watched the one quarterback rush, fumble the ball, get it back, and fumble it again. Nothing worse than fumbling it once is fumbling it twice. Now, I don't know your life. Some of your lives I know more than others, but all of us have spiritually fumbled the ball more than once. So we'll look at Abraham's life and say it's not over. But this morning, we'll learn about really not seeing and not looking and not listening. So in Genesis 16, which we already read, of course, we walk now through the verses. And the first six verses really talk about desperate decisions. Abraham and Sarai are getting old. Now, Abraham, he was probably about 85 when this whole drama starts. How many people here are 85 years old today? Actually, is there anybody who's actually 85? Right on the button. No? How many of you are older than 85? Would you raise your hand? Okay, we got a few that are older than 85. Now, Denny, let's see. How would you like to have a new little baby in the house to take care of? He just smiling. Yeah, it's pretty nice to maybe, you know, have grandkids or great-grandchildren come. It's really, they tell me that's really nice because they go home. But think about that. They were old, and God had promised them a baby, and both Abram and Sarah are in their 80s now. And so there's no child. And so Sarai comes up with this idea that she'll give her maid to Abraham, and he'll have a physical relationship with her, and then that baby would be born. But in the culture, that baby would be Sarah's. Hagar would not have any rights to it. That's called surrogate motherhood, and you thought it was a new idea we came up with. It's not. It's been around a long time. And so, all right, you know, they got a plan. And there were different pieces. Of course, time, you know, the body clock is going on. And maybe they're going to help God out a little bit. God can't quite figure out how to get this to happen. And they're frustrated. I mean, have you never said to God, "Are you listening?" Have you never said to God, "But you promised?" I have, and it doesn't scare him at all, but it's true. Life is frustrating, and then they live in a culture, and the culture said, "Well, that's okay." And so, you know, you just ignore God's word, twist it a little bit, and make it fit what you want to do, and do it. You see, your life isn't that different than Abraham and Sarah's. You think you live in a culture where the whole thing is either forgotten about God or it's against God. They lived in Canaan. It's like, well, okay, I guess this will work. And so they did it, and they said, okay, we'll do it. But the consequences are never God's, they're yours. And they were Abraham's. And one phrase that makes a little all the difference there, there's a little phrase in verse 2 there, it says, and Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Now, guys, let's be honest. How often have you or did you in your life heed the voice of your wife because you just didn't want to hear any more about it? I mean, we all do it. It's like, okay, fine. Well, I'll tell you what, this has made a difference in the world even today. Think if we'd read there, but Abram said, Sarai, no. No, how could you even think of such a thing? Well, I don't have to explain to you, Sir Abram probably, well, gee, if you insist, I guess, you know, yeah. And by the way, that's one of the consequences of their little trip down to Egypt. That's where they got Hagar in the first place. You know, consequence one leads to consequence two. And now all of a sudden, Hagar's pregnant. She's going to have a baby. She's thrilled. But now Sarah's not so excited about it. So Sarah's angry. She blames Abraham. She's ticked off. Abraham, poor guy, he's got a headache. And he ducks the responsibility and says, well, hey, do what you want. And so, you know, she sends her off. And you know the story. And the consequences continue today. You know, the descendants of Ishmael are primarily the Arabs, and the descendants of Isaac, the next son that comes along for Abraham, are the descendants of the Jews. And so if this hadn't happened, there would have been no October 7th, and there wouldn't have been 2 years of war in Gaza. We never imagine. I often think of that when I hear of some new tragedy. And you know, I don't know anything about the football coach from Michigan. But he had no clue when he began to make decisions about what it was going to cost him. And neither did Abraham, and neither do we most of the time. Then there's an unexpected encounter. Hagar runs away, of course, and she's there. And we really don't know, was she running away to die? Maybe, you know, or was she going back to Egypt? Because she was headed south. And they have an unexpected encounter there in verse 7. And it says, now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness. You notice he looked for her. She didn't look for him. And he asks this question, where are you coming from and where are you going? Now all this week, that question has been running through my mind. And I even have to ask the question, did Shakespeare read these verses? Because in one of his plays, is it Hamlet where there's the line, whence thou comest and whither thou goest, fairest Banquo? Somebody way smarter than me is going to have to figure that out. But it's the same thing. Where are you coming from and where are you going? That is the question of all of our lives. I don't care how old you are, you're going somewhere. It may just be to a coffin, but you're going. And I'm going somewhere. I intend to go home today, and Monday I intend to go to work, and then I got plans. I mean, I tell you what, I got plane tickets bought. I got, you know, I know where I'm going, or so I think. Well, Hagar responds, and She's honest, you know. She's honest. I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. She didn't know where she was going, but she knew where she had come from. And so the angel of the Lord, and I want to tell you clearly, I clearly identify that. I'm convinced that's Jesus before his incarnation in Bethlehem. And he says to her, he gives her two commands. He says, Hagar, you go back to Sarah. And you submit to Sarah. stop running from your problems. And then he gives her some promises. In verses 10 through 14, he tells her, you're going to have many descendants, so many you can't count them. And by the way, you're going to name this child that's coming Ishmael. And he's going to be a wild of a donkey, man. He's going to fight with everybody. He's going to be a brawler. So don't you worry about that boy. Now, it is kind of interesting that Ishmael means God hears. And that's important. In verses 13 and 14, she then responds to the angel of the Lord. She doesn't doubt at all. In verse 13, she says, you are the God who sees. Now, he just told her that she was going to name his son the God who hears. And she responds with, you are the God who sees. And that well is named Beer Lahai Roy. And that means the well of the living one who sees me, or God sees. And it's interesting, if you jump ahead, Isaac, the second son, after his father Abraham dies, he goes and lives at this well. And so Hagar then returns to the place, and she tells Abraham and Sarah what had happened. Must have, because in verse 15 it says, so Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. He didn't argue with her. Can you imagine what that conversation was like when she came back and they sat down, the three of them? A little bit uncomfortable, don't you think? Well, I met God there, and he told me to come back. And Sarah, I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do. And I'm going to have this child, and you're supposed to name him Ishmael. And I don't know why. Maybe it was some of the presence of the angel of the Lord that rubbed off on her, but those two powerful people who had been scrapping and fighting, making her life miserable, said, okay, that's what we'll do. And that is exactly what happened. In verse 16, of course, it says Abram was 86 years old at the time of Ishmael's birth. Well, what are some applications for us in our life today? Are there any? And some of you might say, and why on earth are you preaching about this at Christmas time? Well, let's see. There are three things I think that we can learn from this passage. Probably many more, but I picked out three. And the first one, of course, is the law of unintended consequences. The law of unintended consequences. Why did I do such and such? Now, I went out this morning. Of course, it was cold, but the roads are dry. They're not icy. But it did make me think back when I was about, I suppose 16 years old, 17 years old. I wanted to go to a basketball game, and for some reason, I don't remember why, I had a car, but I asked my sister who was home. I said, hey, can I take your car to the ball game? Oh, yeah, that'll be fine. And so after the game, I pulled out, and it was icy, and I went to pull out. There was a car coming. It was a long ways away, and I went to pull out, and all my wheels did but spin. And I was sitting there, and I watched that car, and he had locked up his brakes, and I watched that car, and I looked down. I mean, it was a slow motion, crunch, right into the side of the car. I got out of the car, and I looked at the fender in front, nothing. I looked at the fender in back, nothing. I said, it's a miracle. And then I closed the door. The door, of course, now went the wrong direction. And I went, of course, I had to go home, and the next morning my sister got up and says, oh, how'd it go with the car? I said, well, not so good. You know, for her it was no big deal, but I can tell you, I thought, why did I go to that game? Why did I drive that car? Why? And that's just small stuff. In much bigger stuff, it's the law of unintended consequences. Just look at what happens here when they abandoned biblical principles for cultural norms. And it's interesting. Abraham, of course, got a headache. Sarah got a heartache. Hagar ended up homeless. Ishmael was the rejected son forever. And Isaac was the hated son, brother. All with one dumb decision. You can choose, but you cannot choose consequences. I tell my kids that. I'm sure you tell your kids that. You tell your grandkids that. Hopefully it'll sink in a little bit. Second, and it's a beautiful thing to watch Jesus or the angel of the Lord come to that well. Jesus comes to us in our pain and misery. When we have made that terrible, dumb decision, and we're suffering because of it, or we're suffering because of somebody else's decision, Jesus comes and he says, "Where have you come from and where are you going?" He comes with the questions. He's faithful when I'm stupid. And as someone else has said, this isn't original to me, you do not have the last word on your life. God does. He's the one who decides. But the third one, I think, is the most important. And it is, Jesus is the one who both sees and hears. I recently read a story of a young man who was very poor, and he would wander around a grocery store, and one night one of the maintenance people said, what are you doing? He said, "Oh, I'm sorry." And anyway, he was living on his car, and the maintenance person looked at him and he said, "Wait right here." And he thought he was in trouble. He went and got him a sandwich. And the sandwich began a story and a series of events that changed that young man's life. And he later said when he graduated he gave a speech and he said, "What changed my life was the moment that man sitting right there saw me." Now we do that, you do that. You see somebody panhandling and asking for money, what do? We look over their head, we look around them, we don't see them unless we make a point of it. But Jesus sees, and Jesus hears. Are you listening? And are you talking? We can, he talks to us right here. We talk to him by praying. Are you? As we come to a conclusion, I only want you to remember two things today out of this whole thing, and that is, God looked for Hagar, and God saw Hagar, and he heard Hagar. And God looks for you, he sees you, and he hears you. And if you don't think so, why don't you think about 2,000 years after this story when Jesus looks for another woman at the well, and he sees her, and he hears her and changes her life. It's also interesting when the angel Gabriel comes and he sees a little girl named Mary and changes her life. The names are important. Ishmael, God hears. Beer Lahairoi, God sees. God hears you, God sees you. I think it's important at Christmas. I don't know how you feel at Christmas time. The holidays are very, very interesting times, and I think it changes as we go through life. They can be the highlight of our life. I think if we're 8 years old and there are presents under the tree, we just don't even care if Uncle Charlie is coming to visit or eat or not. We got presents. We got stuff. But as we get older, I struggle with thinking about who's not there. Who's not there this year? The person that doesn't do whatever. And at Christmas time, especially, I think we can very quickly feel very much alone, and some of us can feel forgotten. So I want you to know, this passage screams at you. God sees you and he hears you. And you are not alone, not at any time, and certainly not at Christmas. And I can prove it, because when he came to Mary, he said, "You shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. So you want to add a third one? God sees you, God hears you, and God is with you. Each and every day. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you saw Hagar and you went and looked for her in her pain and in her misery, and you spoke to her. And we thank you, Lord, that you heard her And Lord, thank you that you see us, because many of us are sad and we're lonely. Sometimes we're too busy. But Lord, thank you also that you hear us. But beyond seeing and hearing us, Lord, thank you beyond all of that, that you, Father, are with us each and every day until we walk through the gates of glory one day to see you face to face. We give you the honor, we give you the glory for this time, and we thank you again for this blessed season of Christmas. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let's all stand and close with a favorite Christmas spiritual that Becky has chosen. Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night,
let's repeat together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And let us repeat as Jesus taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, as you go, may the Lord bless you today with a good memory. May you remember throughout the week that he sees you and that he hears you, and Emmanuel,
He is with you. God bless you all until we meet again. Amen.
Thanks be to God.